Last night began the Feast of Tabernacles, and we're in the middle, or not in the middle, we just began a seven-day celebration, eight-day celebration for the harvest. And this is a time when the Jews, they thank God for the harvest, they thank God for everything that's taken place throughout the year. So if we could just join with them right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you, Father. Father, you have given us so much, Lord. You have given us our lives, our families, our church, our nation. Lord, you've given us so much, Father God. We take it for granted sometimes, Lord, all the things that you have given us. And we just wave to you right now. We offer this as a wave offering to you, Father. Just like the Jews would offer up that those sheaves, Lord, they are waving before you all of the goodness, all of the greatness that you are. And Father, we could never do this on our own, Lord. And sometimes we think we can. We ask for your forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are nothing without you. We are nothing. We need you, Father God. Our nation needs you. We need you, Lord. Father God, thank you for blessing for Israel. Bless Israel. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them, Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you right now. Lord God, we just join in this Feast of Tabernacles, and say, Lord, tabernacle in us. Tabernacle in us, O God. Lord, we prepare our hearts right now. We ask you to forgive our sins. Lord, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we submit ourselves. We humble ourselves before you, Father God, and say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood, Lord, without which we could not do anything. And I praise you and thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Daggone it, Mike. My heart is just kind of racing right now. And I know you felt this too. But this praise and worship today was more than enough. More than enough. And it was because we all came in. We all came in together. We came expecting. We came worshiping. We came praising our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I asked God to give me a sign, Lord, that this is the message that you want. And he did. He came right on time. And it was that King Jesus. King Jesus lives in us. King Jesus, the creator of the world. And I don't want to get too far ahead, but I'm excited. I'm pumped. I thank God for this church. I thank everyone here for being the brother and sister in Christ that you are. But there's more. There is more than coming here and getting a fix. Coming here and getting some kind of emotional fix. Lord, we love that. I love it. I love whenever we come together and we worship God with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our strength. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you right now, Father God, for that opportunity, for that freedom. When there are people that have to hide in caves and whisper, thank you, God. Thank you. Lord, we get to shout it from the rooftops. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We value that, oh God. We value that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, I don't know if I can get through this, but I'll try. All right. So, before I begin, this is almost like, who has a smartphone? Who has a smartphone? You get a smartphone? Is it smarter than you? No. Oh, okay. So you're good. That's good. I have a smartphone. Now, who has an Apple iPhone? Anybody here? Apple? We got Apple people? A couple of you, three of you, four. Ooh, she said hers showing up. That's awesome. See, I see you back there, despite that light you shine right in my eye. So who knows what an application is, an app, on your phones? It doesn't matter, I guess, if it's an Apple phone or anything. You guys know what apps are? Okay, cool. Because if you didn't, this would be a really bad sermon. Some of our friends bought the newest iPhone 7. Now, they're a little older than me and Karen. They're almost 70-ish. And so I like them. I thought it was real impressive they stepped out of their comfort zone to make that commitment to and do some homework, reading, studying, and actually putting to use that new tech gear, you know, the iPhone 7. I've got like an iPhone 5C or something. So, you know, I'm really impressed with that. But I don't know if they know the full capabilities of that phone. And because I'm just a little, you know, I know something about our phone. I know how to tell the time and the calendar, you know, use the date. That's awesome. So, now I don't know for sure, but I bet their new iPhone is super powerful compared to mine. It probably has a lot of applications on it and capabilities beyond my understanding and maybe even theirs. But it didn't stop them from getting the new phone. There was a learning curve, but they were willing to take that time, like I said before, to bone up on it. So out of this place, this iPhone-ness, I began to think about what the Lord would want me to share today with you, and he brought that up to me. And the idea is big, but can be very complex if we let ourselves think about it. It's an idea we all know and have been taught ever since we've been saved, or at least I have, even in the Catholic Church, which I grew up in. But it's something we take for granted a lot. Yet I bet if we ever came to grips with it, with the awesomeness of it, it would and could have a huge effect on how we live our lives. The concept, the God who created the universe lives in us. Listen to some scripture. 1 John 4:15. Anyone who confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides, lives, I'm reading from the Amplified Version, lives and makes his home in him, and he abides, lives, and makes his home in God. Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you and me, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. John 14:7, the Spirit of truth lives with you constantly, will be with you, in you, excuse me. John 15:45, dwell in me, I will dwell in you, just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. So let's get that down in our spirits. The God of the universe dwells in us. Now, I don't struggle with the fact that those facts are true or not. It's scripture, and it's true. Rather, what degree do I believe in this? How can I increase my belief, and how different would I be if I fully received that information? So you can have information all you want, but unless you act on it, it's just information. So while I don't want to equate the king of the universe with a man-made object, I'd like to do this. Whenever we teach something in ROTC, and we know it's wrong, we'll say, for instructional purposes only, do this. Because if you did it any other time, it wouldn't be right. So I would like to step out here for training purposes only and compare the King's operating system with the iPhone operating system. In other words, the kingdom of God, if it were an operating system like the iPhone, when you buy an iPhone, you get this half phone, half computer. All right? It's big. It can be pretty intimidating. It was for me my first time. It has an instruction manual. And if you go to the Apple store, there's a team of associates who will help you get it set up and running. Okay? So that's, in fact, if you already have an iPhone already, you don't really have to get a lot of instruction on how to work the new iPhone, just the basics of it. You can make a call, you can tell the date, you can, you know, do some basics in it without going to college or anything. And if you go to the Apple store, there's a team of associates there who will help you get it set up and running. All right, so you can be up and running in no time, just the same old things you did before. However, if you stop there, you'll never realize the potential of that phone. You know, there's a lot of things that phone can do. Right? You know about phones, right? You have your phone? Is it a good phone? No, okay. It's a good phone? All right. All right, so now let's look at God's operating system for a minute. God has given us his operating system. This is blasphemous. Sorry, God. God 1.0. It wasn't free, though. Jesus had to suffer and die and be raised from the dead. And all we have to do is respond to the offer by receiving it. According to the operator's manual or scripture in Romans 10:9, because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and in your heart believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. I pray right now if there's anybody here that's not saved that you receive that in the name of Jesus. Verse 10, for with the heart a person believes and so is justified, with the mouth he confesses and confirms his salvation. So with the heart and the mouth, activated. So if you don't have this operating system in you today, it is available for you to receive. If you need help putting the system into operation, come up and we'll have one of our associates help you. Okay? Any takers? In the name of Jesus? Okay. Continuing with the comparison. So when we made Jesus our Lord and Savior, we also got updates to God's operating system and applications to go with it through the Holy Spirit. Russell, you got a phone? No phone? I'm sorry. We'll get somebody to illustrate for you later, but hopefully you got this. I'm sorry. John 14:16, Jesus speaking, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. He's also called counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him or recognize him, because they are on a, this is my part I put in here, because they're on a different operating system, carnality 1.0. Yeah, I said that. Did you hear it? Did you receive that? You're barely alive. That baby will drive you, won't he? Okay. But you know and recognize the Holy Spirit, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. Verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, asked him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And verse 23, Jesus answered, if a person loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So we have this operating system within us, the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. We didn't have to pay anything except just receive this gift. If you haven't done this yet, do it. It's free for you. It's not free. It's like freedom in America. Freedom in America is not free. Somebody paid for that with their lives. Jesus paid with his life. So respect that. Okay, so we have this operating system within us. Think about how big this is. Think about it. Look at this. Look at these verses. Psalms. Psalm 24. God owns everything. He founded the world. He is the King of glory, strong and mighty in battle. This guy lives in you. He lives in me. You should not need anything else. You got the best. Listen to this, Psalm 29. God sits as King forever. King Jesus! King Jesus, that was the words I was looking for. That's the words God used. That was not part of that song, I don't think, at first, but God, that was so cool. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Psalm 146:6. God made heaven, earth, the sea, and all that is in them. You got the creator of the whole world in you, in us. Listen, I'm preaching to myself too. I can't get a hold of this. I've been dealing with this all week. It's like So what? I don't know what to do with that. God, what? And then he shows me Psalm 89:11. God owns the heavens, the earth, the world, all that is in it. He has founded them. This same God lives in us. Can we praise God together? Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. That's what we got to do with it is thank him. Thank you, Lord. You live in us. You chose us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Cool. Oh, Lord, I tell you what, Lord, reveal more of this to us. Lord, give us revelation. Let us not go away from here knowing stuff. Make it be real. Help us to do something with this. God is crazy big, yet he's in each of us who are saved. The problem is, we have all the latest God has to offer, yet we only make use of a small portion of what he's made available. Okay, we all, me too. I know of accepting him as my Lord and Savior, but is there more? God says, yes, you have not because you ask not. Okay, there's a key. I ask, God. I ask you. I need more revelation. I need more. I don't need more of you. I need more revelation. Lord, make it real. Make it real. He's the God of the universe. He's inside of us. Just like the iPhone. Where is it? I hear it. To get the most out of the iPhone, you have to do the following. Read the operator manual daily. Ask others to help you, either fellow users, or go to the big church of iPhones called the Apple Store. Now, we have a distinct advantage over iPhone users. While they go to the App Store and get training, we can go directly to the system's creator and ask, and we know by faith that he's going to answer. How cool is that, Steve Jobs? Apple people? Our God's bigger than you. He made you. He made you. You're nothing. Besides the operating system, which few of us really understand, in the iPhone there are apps or applications. They help us tap into that powerful that operating system. You know, I've got 5.0 or something like that, 5C. So that to me was really powerful. But I got these apps, you know, all by itself, that operating system does nothing. It just sits there. But when you put an app, you can put a few apps in there, all of a sudden your phone can, you can get some stuff out of that. Things like, the weather. It lets us know the past, present, and future weather. Facebook and Twitter connects us to a community of users. Google Maps or MapQuest saved my butt more than once, you know, telling me where to go. Of course, I have others helping me with that. I listened to some of the app. Now, okay, so this is the cool part. Ready? Listen to some of the apps we have available to us through God's operating system. And by the way, they can all be found in the operator's manual or the scripture. The healing app. The healing app. God heals. He heals from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. And we get a hold of that one. Deliverance, miracles, reformation, revival, restoration, repentance, knowledge and wisdom apps, and more. And all these apps can be received by faith. Are you kidding me? You can get these things by faith. Lord, make this real. All these apps are available to us. All we have to do is tap into them and activate. In other words, be saved and have faith and knowledge. How many here would like to tap into one of these apps in your life? Or more. I mean, that was just a few of them. Okay? It's available for us. And we know that. We've got the knowledge. And yet we're not walking in it. Or we try to walk in it on our own strength. And that's kind of the bad thing about the operating system with God. He doesn't want your strength. Your strength stinks. Your strength is no good. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will raise you up. Higher and higher. Okay, so it's not enough to know the app. You got to know how to use the app. It won't work without some knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Scripture. You got to physically do some things before the app works. You have to have faith in the app, first of all, that what you're going to get ready to do can even happen. Otherwise, you never tap into the capabilities. And just because you know how other apps work doesn't mean you're going to know how this app is going to work. You may know about Salvation app, but you're not going to know anything about the healing app until you get in the Word and figure out what's available, how do you get it, what's going on here. It takes time, meditation, study, practice, humility. That's a hard one for me. Relying on God and His system more than relying on ourselves. When I am weak in human strength, I am strong in divine strength. 2 Corinthians 12:10. How many are willing to ask and have faith to receive? Willing to ask God and have faith to receive. It's very key. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Are you and I making use of these apps today? We're going to make that opportunity available in just a few minutes. Be pondering which app you want. Again, our associates will be here to help. Maybe it's not one I've mentioned so far. There are rewards to be had or benefits to tapping into a powerful iPhone. You can remotely start your car. Anybody got one like that? You can start your car from your phone? Yeah. I bet that would be neat. Lock and protect your house. Make videos. Ask questions and get answers. Siri. Google. The downside, if you get this phone wet, it ruins it. Whereas God's operating system demands you get it wet. You got to throw it in. You got to completely submerge this baby for it to start working. It activates the power. It's also known as baptism. Rah! You got it? There are limits on God's system. The battery life is not real good. I'm sorry. God's battery life in this system is not real good. It has to be recharged daily. Okay? You have to get in there and reach. Sometimes, depending on what you're doing, if you're going to the jail, you better have that battery up and running all day, because it's going to get drained the moment you go through those gates. The moment you start ministering to those people. The moment they start drawing on the anointing. The moment they start getting healed and delivered. You got to be, that's why you need prayer warriors around you to help charge that battery. It can't do it on your own. If you try to do it on your own, the battery fails. Once we tap into God's operating system or the Holy Spirit in us, there are rewards, it's called fruit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, humility, self-control. These rewards of fruit never go bad. In fact, the more they are active, the more they become effective, the more effective they become. All right, so this is my demo for this. All right, so you I don't know if you know about these pitchers of water that have a device you can stick down in the middle of the water and put fruit in the middle of it, and it has holes in it, and you put it in the refrigerator, and overnight you have fruit juice because the water absorbs the fruit, the flavor, the essence of that fruit. It's I don't know how, it's infused. That's what it is, infusion. Okay? So that's how the normal fruit does. The longer the fruit and water mix, the stronger the effect of the fruit. Acts 2:28. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will enrapture me, diffusing my soul with joy with and in your presence. So in his presence, we get this good stuff. How do we get this fruit? When we get the Holy Spirit, Romans 15:13. May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace and believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing with hope. If you're hopeless today, get in there, marinate, soak. Soaking room, so appropriate. Get in the presence of God. Soak it up. Every cell of your being should be, you should ask God, you know, I do, I'm trying to do this. God, just marinate me in this. I want your fruit because my fruit stinks. My love, it's not unconditional for some reason. If somebody does me wrong, I get mad at them. I try to repent, and, you know, just a continuous battle. Oh. Philippians 1:11, may you abound in and be filled with the fruits of righteousness which come through Jesus to the honor and praise of God. So if we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with his fruit, we can have all these things in its purest form. The more we let the Holy Spirit saturate us, the more powerful the fruit will be evident in our lives. And the reverse is true too. Okay? If we let bad fruit in our life, if we let the influences of TV, school, friends, family that have bad fruit in their life, and we marinate in that, we're going to have the results of that. Not because we want to, because it just seeps in. You got to be careful what you let go in your ears, what you let go in your eyes. Guys, teenage guys, pornography, and even other guys, pornography is out there. It sneaks up on you. It comes through the computer and slams you right in the eye gate. And then you like a burned image into your head. If you continue to think about that instead of rebuking it and blood of Jesus all over that, and you just think and marinate in that, you're going to get bad fruit. All right? It's not that you wanted it. You didn't want it. You weren't out looking for it, but it came and it got you. It's okay. Jesus heals. He delivers. He breaks the chains free. You got to want it, though. You got to want it bad. You got to go seeking after it. Seek and ye shall find. It's not going to come to you just osmosis. You got to go after it. It's same thing with the other things. Anger. You know, you marinate in anger. You put stuff about, excuse me, I know this is not always the case, but rap. You know, those boys are pretty angry. They're pretty angry. And that's, you know, I hear, well, I get into it because it relieves my stress. I feel their anger. I feel this. I feel that. Yeah, you do. And it may for a while give you some relief. I'll tell you just a small story, and this had to do with my daughter. When she was into heavy metal, I mean, she would go in her room, I'd hear this boom, 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 boom. You know, and back then, I didn't care about words and stuff. It didn't bother me. But I did notice that every time she went in her room and listened to that stuff, she would come out angry. I was like, what? Okay, you're angry. Well, she gets saved. Okay, so she goes back in the room, and I hear boom, 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 boom. This time she comes out and she's got this light glow about her. There's peace on her or something. I said, What is the difference here? It was the message. It was Christian heavy metal versus secular heavy metal. Now, I'm not suggesting everybody here go out and get heavy metal music. I don't, you know, that's not it. But what I am saying to you is the message matters. You let it in your eyes. You let it in your ears. You let it in your heart. Your heart becomes hard. It's called iniquity. These sins are called iniquity. And when we have iniquity in our heart, God won't hear our prayers. It's right in the Word. Listen to this. Psalm, first of all, Psalm 98. Our iniquities are secret heart and its sins. The consequences of entertaining iniquity in our hearts. Psalm 66, 18. And I use this all the time at Food Pantry because I know there's people that are angry there and suffered some bad things. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's Psalm 66, 18. Isaiah 59, 2. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Okay, so if we've got unforgiveness in our heart towards other people or things, whatever your unforgiveness is about, and you've tried and you tried to forgive that person or that situation, but it's just not working, so you just gave up and you still have it in you, God can help you. You just need to ask and you shall receive. Ask him to help you. We pray that before almost, I do anyway, at least before everybody I pray for in the food pantry. Is there any unforgiveness in your heart? Well, yeah, it's just a long time ago. I said, we need to go after that now. You ready to do this? Yeah, I'd like to do it. I said, have you tried it on your own? Yeah, I've tried. I just can't do it. Okay, God, help this person. And I make them pray. It'll, Jesus, help me. Help me forgive this person or this thing. They've done unspeakable things to me. They don't deserve my forgiveness. We do not deserve his forgiveness. But God, we're weak. And where we are weak, you are strong. Lord, help us. In the name of Jesus. Okay, so we have to treat iniquity like a computer virus. We need to constantly scan our hearts daily. Use the standard of God's commandments to detect viruses or sin, like a blatant heart or sins of the heart, immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, jealousy, anger, selfishness, envy. It's all listed in the book, Galatians 5, 19, 20 through 21. Because when these viruses get in, it is called iniquity. I already went over that. Some telltale signs that there may be virus in operation within you. Lack of good fruit. No joy. No zeal for the things of God. You come to church not expecting. You come to church, Lord, it's a habit. My mom made me. My dad made me. When pressure comes, we speak bad things. For out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks, says Matthew 12, 34. Or we try to control or manipulate but instead of loving unconditionally. I had trouble with that one. Even when I got saved, I was using manipulation and control in a religious way. Okay? It wasn't love. I mean, it was kind of love, but it wasn't God's love, not what he has for us. So getting back to the King of the universe in us, what are we going to do with this knowledge? Well, we need to humble ourselves, be thankful, give God the glory, tell others about this great deal. Better yet, let others see the fruit of the Spirit active in your life and in my life, both in good times and in bad. Make them want what we have. You pull that iPhone 7 or 9 or 10 out of your pocket at Taco Bell and your friends are all around, they're like, you might as well get a napkin because they're going to be slobbering all over it. Okay? They want that bad because they know what good that can do. Now, they may never tap into it totally, but teenagers are pretty resourceful. You guys can pretty much figure it out pretty quick. But anyway. Make them want what you have. I believe the world is starting to wake up a little. They see fewer and fewer choices for good out there. They're seeing more quantity and less quality. Look at the Samsung phone that explodes. Degradation of character, where you can't trust anybody. Can you really trust anybody out there anymore? You know? Fear is dominating. Fear. Terrorist, fear, get the connection. Hope is disintegrating. And the world is starting to run out of good answers. But we have the answer. It's Jesus. Jesus is the answer. And that's not some just religious talk. King Jesus. But we must get our hearts ready before God. We have to personally repent and turn from our evil ways, have an abundance of good fruit, especially love. And the greatest of these is love. Not our love, God's love. Get into 1 Corinthians 13 and you want to get the characteristics there. Don't limit God. Get the full experience. And we will be the light in the darkness. How many of you feel the darkness around us? Okay? Can be a good thing, because you're going to be the light, whether you like it or not. With our hand out, ready to share hope in this hopeless world, because we have love. Love for the lost, the hopeless, the unsaved people out there who need what we have. Are we ready? Are we the real thing? Of ourselves? No. But with God's operating system fully functioning in our life, your potential is amazing. It is amazing. Is the fruit of the Spirit operational in your life? Start by taking inventory of your heart. How much of God's operating system do we allow in our lives? Are we limiting God? Do we have enough evidence that others can see? And are you giving your testimony? The dying world needs some hope. So we talked a lot of things today. iPhones, operating systems, applications, fruit of the Spirit. This is all just information. Some of you there are here and you're just receiving this information. At least you get this information. Lord, I pray right now that the Spirit within each person comes alive. Lord, that the enemy will not be allowed to snatch this word from their consciousness, their spirit. Lord, seal up, Holy Spirit, seal up this word. Let us ask together for more of Jesus and less of us. If you see a need in your life, maybe you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've fallen away from the faith and need to be reset and refreshed. Maybe you need help getting the most of God's operating system in your life. God says you have not because you ask not. Come. Is there an application you feel you would like to have open in your life? Come and ask Jesus. These altars are open, by the way. It's not just, you don't have to wait for one of our associates. You can just come up here. If there's anything in here that I read that touches your heart, Holy Spirit, help them. Give them strength. Give them the ability to come up and humble themselves and ask for what they need, Lord God. Because I know I sit out there sometimes. It's like, man, I don't want to go up there. I don't want to go up there. Ugh, I got to go. I got to go. Lord, they got to go. They got to go to receive from you. You can do this between you and God or one of our associates. We'll be glad to help you. One last question here. Do you have the fruit of the Spirit operating in your life full force, especially love? And this is a hard one for me. It's hard for me to show affection. I hate using the word I love you to people that I have no clue who they are or what they're, you know, I hate that. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the way I brought up or what, but does your heart break for those who don't know Jesus as they will die and go to hell for eternity? Come, let's ask God to activate the greatest fruit of love in our lives. Let us pray as the body of Christ. So We're going to do that right now.